number 22B.
Yes. Now, what would you think, what kind of an attitude we should have in a Christianity sense towards principle? Yes? Yes, is that the word or is that Christianity?
I would
hope so. You see, yeah, I think, you know, there is a lot in it, yes. Perhaps not interpretation, huh? Interpretation is perhaps science, huh? It's an attitude that is asked, you see, it's a... We ask about an attitude of true humanhood. See, the category is true humanhood. We bring it down to the human standpoint. What should be humanly within us that is receptive and welcoming the idea? I think what you always do from the human standpoint when you are face to face to a universe of evil or of error or of negative problems, what is your human attitude right away in the way of principle? Obedience. Oh.
Christianity terms,
I hope it is. So we had it in the Christ, huh? Well, subjection to principle, huh? Obedience. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's have a little bit of obedience.
If we've arrived at a universe of ideas, a non-people universe in the first column, then we'd have to start out with an impersonal sense in the column we're working on now.
I think so. Huh? And yeah, the worst attitude perhaps would be that we are impersonal about that universe, huh? To be principled, huh? Impersonal, huh? About it, so that we start out not... You see, again, you must have an attitude that traces back the universe to its origin, huh? Obedience would be what you would have to do yourself, but the Christianity says you trace it back to something, huh? So it must be tracing back to something, and that is that you say it's something absolutely impersonal. It is something absolutely principled. It has nothing to do with what it appears in the universe. So always I think you have that sense, actually. I think that's what we would do anyway. She would do that, actually, if she wouldn't have to think about categories, and if I would have said, well, what do you do when you see two people quarreling each other and being of different opinions, each one says, I'm right, and you would say, well, let's take it impersonally, huh? It's not one person and the other person, huh? You would quite naturally do that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes doing something systematic seems to be more difficult, and if we wouldn't do it systematically, we would do it rightly. Yeah. We would start out and say, this is an absolutely impersonal question. It has nothing to do with the kind of universe. It has to do something with its principle. Therefore, I too, now comes the human attitude, I too have to look at it in a principled way, in an impersonal way. If we come to mind, what is our attitude? You have mind. You have again, just always think about a world that is upside down, about a negative problem. What would we do by tracing really things back to its origin? What would we do? Would we say, oh yes, that has to do with matter and with body and with disease and with people. What would we say? How should I think? Yes, I would say I must think in terms of ideas and not in terms of matter and happenings. So at that point we would start to think in terms of ideas. That's a human attitude. But a human attitude that naturally tries to meet the divine, that's quite natural that we want to do that, bring out that. So first you say, well, this has nothing to do with the universe at all, with people and things and so on. I must not listen to one side or to the other. This is a question that is absolutely impersonal. It has to do with the principle, so I must approach it in an impersonal way. Then when I approach it in an impersonal way, I say to myself, now what are the ideas that are really working here? And I begin to search for ideas and to think in terms of ideas, no more in terms of people and things and places and so on. Yes? What do I do next when I come to soul? Yes? If I trace everything in that world back to soul, what is my attitude? Yes? To lay down the human sense of self and say, I'm not going to judge according to my own self. Huh? Yes? I put my ego out of the way, or else I judge wrongly. I have a wrong judgment on it. So it is a statement or an attitude of being unself, of a kind of meekness also, of humility, that says not I can judge now what is happening, not I can now say what on which side is the right and the true. I put myself out of the way, my ego, myself, my egotistical self, I put out of the way. And so I have a kind of an unself attitude, of an attitude of meekness, of humility. And if I come to spirit, if I have put really myself out of the way, and I come to spirit, what would we perhaps see here what my attitude is? Yeah?
Before we go to spirit, Mike, can somebody sort out the difference between centripetal and centrifugal? One of those would operate in soul, wouldn't it, in this case? The one that spins off and away from the center. I don't know the difference between them.
Centripetal?
Centripetal and centrifugal. Does anybody know the meaning?
Yes. You say better, you know the English terms.
Well, the centripetal is away.
Yeah, well, that's the one I want.
Centripetal is full force.
It would be a centrifugal force.
You can remember them by... PT, centripetal, full
force.
Yeah,
that's
a good way to remember it.
So it would be a force that would be spinning away from the center, a centrifugal force, right? Centrifugal force is what soul would be at this point. Is that true?
Soul? You see, a centrifugal force is not an attitude. See, it's a fact, it's a law. It's not an attitude. I cannot be centripetal.
You cannot apply it to an attitude of unselfishness?
I wouldn't see a bridge between those two. One is a law and the other is an attitude, a human attitude. I couldn't find a thing. So we come to spirit, and what kind of a attitude do I have here? When I had, in a positive sense, the infinite reflection, what is the human attitude that I must bring out for that reflection? I guess I must see something about being transparent, huh? Spiritually transparent, let's say spiritually minded, huh? Spiritually transparent, spiritually minded, so that I do not put any obstacles in the way by thinking materially about things. So the next one, usually the next stage is that one is spiritually minded, so that through that spiritual mindedness, the ideas that needs to be resolved can shine through, that it really has a possibility to shine through the window pane, that it is clear. I must be pure in spirit. Yes. What kind of attitude do I have in life, or should I bring out in life as a human quality? We had their life as a fatherhood. Well, humanly, what would that bring forth within us?
Generosity.
Generosity, magnanimous, huh? a sense that we feel that we have the fullness of life within us, even in the human, that we are not what is the counterfeit of magnanimous and generous?
Mean.
Mean. Huh? Loud? What do you say? No. Now the negative of magnanimous is mean.
Lacking.
No, that's not an attitude. That's a state of things.
Stingy.
Yes. Critical. Yes. You see, these are the qualities that should be brought out in the human. The moment these qualities are not somehow seen, one knows that the inward spiritual state has not reached the tone of life in Christianity. Then, what about truth? You had the sonship of an idea. How does it show itself forth in the human, when you feel that here you have a sense of brotherhood, that the brotherhood is accepting the other one as the son, as a man, as a full statement of the man? Yes.
Positive attitude,
for instance, absolute positive attitude, yes.
You'd be very confident, too.
Confidence also, yes. You could put that perhaps also here, yes. And when we come to love, what do we find as a human attitude that comes out from the motherhood of ideas? Yeah. All right, tenderness, compassion, yes, peace-loving, peace-giving, blessed are the peacemakers, yes. You get here in this column practically all the Beatitudes. See, the Beatitudes actually want to bring out, blessed is he that. So it is, blessed is he that is at the focal point of Christianity. So the Beatitudes don't tell us something about God. They don't tell us something about the Christ. They tell us something about a spiritual status of man. Blessed is he that has this and this quality. So actually you also could take in all those wonderful qualities that we have in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers in love. Yes. So here you can see that we have a whole nice range again of Christian qualities, of the humanly Christian qualities. They are not the divinely qualities, Christ, not the divine Christianity qualities, because the divine Christianity qualities have all only to do with ideas, only with ideas. Here we have the human qualities that have a divine touch. Again, naturally, we could say, well, how are these qualities in this column really brought forth? From where would we get them? Can any human being just say, well, I have to be principled, I have to think in terms of idea, I should be selfless, I really should be spiritually transparent, I should be magnanimous, I should be express brotherhood, I should really express that sense of peacemaking and ministering and serving and helping. Can I do that out of a human will, out of a moral sense? Well, we can try, but we will not really succeed. We'll succeed to a certain extent, but not wholly. So the point is that actually these qualities should be the outcome of that first column on the left-hand side. That in the measure that we spiritually culture the first column, which is absolutely in the spiritual, has only to do with ideas, that they, now you have a little bit of the Christ in it, that they translate themselves quite naturally to another state of humanhood. We cannot think along a higher idea without that that expresses itself in a higher humanity. It is just not possible. In the measure as we understand that first column, in that measure, the qualities which we have just been considering in that column of true humanhood begin to be born in us. They come along unnoticed. They come and establish themselves. These are not qualities which we say, I should have them. This is not Moses telling, thou shalt and thou shalt not. It is the outcome again of that first column. And that, I think, is important to see. Or we try to start with this column of true humanhood and think in this way we can express more Christianity, and all what we do is to express more, say, the moral state, the transitional qualities, which, as we have seen, are not really that which is born from above. But we are born from above, and therefore our whole contemplation really should lay in that first column, and that should be cultured, consciously cultured, and that brings to the human quite automatically, as a reflection, the true sense of humanhood. Is there any more question about this column here?
Yes, I do accept impersonal there, but with regard to obedience, would you classify it as Word, Christ, Christianity, or not Christianity?
Yes.
When you go out and do the job, aren't you?
Yes. You are obedient, yes. Isn't it the quality that we would have in the Christ, when the Christ is shown as what it demands from us? It's more a demand of the Christ from us, that we submit ourselves to principle. It's a submitting to principle. It's not an inner quality, it's a method. See? Whereas these are not really methods, there are attitudes. There are attitudes. Yeah. We have a last column that is mortal manhood. It is always also somehow some interest or help also to look at the wrong picture of Christianity and say, now what really happens in a misunderstood Christianity? And for that purpose, just as we had in the Christ, we had the last column say, what happens when we resist the Christ? Here it is Christianity. What is the attitude when we don't have the real Christianity attitude, but the very opposite? You see, it's not the resistance now, that's the Christ. Here it is an opposite attitude. What is it? If we go out from principle, as the first synonymous term, what is really then the opposite of it? All right, you could say it's being unprincipled.
Personal.
Domineering. So you have here the description of mortal manhood, really, as a personal ego. See? Instead of a principle, you are unprincipled, but that's not really the opposite status. It's really that the world consists of personal egos and can always be traced back to personal egos, you know, to that state where you say, as I look at it, it's so and so. And the other says, and as I look at it, it's so and so. The third one says, and as I look at it, it is so and so. And so you have practically as many principles in the world as you have people. It's the unifying factor is the personal ego which each one seems to have. If we come to mind, in the true sense, mind says, we just perhaps can, you see, perhaps we just can read horizontally and say, in mind, from the divine point, we see that the universe is a universe of ideas, all these ideas. Therefore, from the human standpoint, we should think in terms of ideas. You see that? What is the wrong way? Well, opinionated, to have opinions, to have beliefs, huh? Instead of thinking in terms of ideas, we think in terms of what we think, according to our opinions, to our comprehension of whatever you want to say. So it's an opinionated universe. Don't we have an opinionated universe? The world as it is doesn't seem to have one mind. And so we have an opinionated universe. If you go to soul, again perhaps if you go horizontally, we see each idea is identified with its principle. Therefore, we should not identify ourselves with us. We should be unself. And the very opposite is naturally that we have a selfish ego, that we are egotistic, that only our ego is that which matters. So we have a world of egos. When we come to spirit, again we can flow horizontally. Each idea reflects every other idea. We have one infinite reflection there. From the human standpoint, therefore, we say we must be transparent to that reflection, or it cannot reflect itself. If we are not pure there, the reflection doesn't go through and we get the deflection. So we must be spiritually minded. What is it in our universe, in the false universe? Instead of spiritually minded, we are material minded. We have a materialistic universe. We are materialistic in our attitude. We are materialistic. And because we are materialistic in our attitude, we do not express the fatherhood of life, not the fullness and magnitude and greatness of life, magnanimousness of life, but the very opposite. Instead of giving like the father, it is destructive. We have instead of a constructive attitude of fatherhood sense, we have a destructive sense. We run down everything, we criticize everything, we destroy in this way everything. It's destructive. And instead of having the sonship of man, the sonship of idea, therefore a brotherhood of men, we have the very opposite. We negate everything. Instead of affirming, claiming the truth, we negate really the man's qualities. We have a negating attitude, which naturally leads us to where? Instead of having a motherhood sense, a fulfilled sense of manhood, we go exactly the other way. We go down the drain. It's nihilistic. The whole world today is nihilistic. Everybody feels, well, we just go down the drain, there is no hope. How could we get out? There is no way out. And so there is a kind of here, the counterfeit really of fulfillment is nihilism. Or do you call it nihilism? Nihilistic or nihilistic? Which one? Somebody who speaks out loud? Nihilistic. Sorry.
I hear it both ways.
You hear it both ways. Thank God.
That happens in America, and actually they're quite different from ours, many of them. You come to England, you get one, and then you...
So you have tomatoes, and here they have tomatoes.
That's right.
Well, that brings us really to the end of this column, and in this way also to the end of our Christianity sense. All right, we make a break.